Hello and welcome to Side Hustle. I'm your host, Brooke Andreas, and on this podcast, I'll be chatting with people who have an interesting side hustle outside of their 9-to-5 commitments. In this episode, we chat with Moesha Johnson, who is juggling completing her Bachelor of Biomedical Science degree full-time and also being an elite athlete. We chat about how she started, the challenges, the amazing experiences, as well as her tips for if you're looking to start your own side hustle. Here she is. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with where you are today. So what is your 9-to-5 commitment and what is your side hustle?
Yeah, so my 9-to-5 commitment up until recently has been university. I've just completed a degree in biomedical science at Southern Cross. And then my side hustle is I'm a professional swimmer now on the side, which has now taken over full time.
Yeah, awesome. With that, let's take it back to the very beginning of your swimming journey, your side hustle. Where did it all start?
Yeah, so for me, just like every other kid, I guess, I did learn to swim. But my mum actually worked at the pool of my auntie and uncle. So I would just swim in every swimming lesson while she worked. I just loved swimming. And then throughout the years, I've just progressed up through the squads and just never stopped, I guess, and just kept going up into the competitive section. And yeah, I love it. So
what age did you really decide, okay, maybe I'll take this a little bit more seriously and step out from just, you know, joining in on the swimming lessons and take it a bit more seriously?
Yeah, so for me, I think it would have been around, I'm guessing, about 7 years old. It was something that I probably didn't necessarily choose, but my coach suggested I give it a go. So yeah, my mum took me along to some local swimming competitions and I loved it. So yeah, from there, I've just chosen and asked mum just to take me to as much swimming as you can.
Yeah, well, it's good also if you've got someone who's supportive like your mum to take you to all those things, because I know growing up as well, I did a lot of soccer and it was like, oh, Dad, can you please drive me here and here and here? And I'm sure that now she's pretty happy that you've got your license as well.
Yeah, my mum has been completely supportive. And yeah, the getting my license was probably the best day of her life.
Yeah, definitely. So where do you think you found it to be the most challenging? You know, obviously, as you started this quite young, you had to go through high school and even university, and those were your commitments at the time. You know, we were chatting a bit earlier before joining the podcast, and I was a little bit surprised to hear that high school was a little bit more challenging to deal with this commitment than university.
Yeah. So I guess... yeah, high school probably was more challenging because you've got the set hours where you have to be at school, that 9 to 3, and you're training beforehand, you're eating breakfast at the pool and getting changed at the pool, and you're going straight from the pool to school, and the same in the afternoon. You don't get that downtime. Whereas university, you know, even though the study I feel is more intense, I can do it within my own comfort zone at home. I can take a nap on a day if I really need it. I can fit it in around my schedule a lot more. Mm. And having that flexibility makes it that much easier. Just, you know, in busy periods, you know, you can work ahead in university and make sure you're free around the times that you know you're going to have a lot of assessment at uni. Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely, I think high school is probably the challenging. Like, it's all challenging. There's always going to be a challenge present, but yeah, in terms of the side commitment.
Well, that's what I've found with my own university experience, and I think sometimes you think you're going to go in there and just get it done, you know, full time, which you did. Which I'm astounded by, because I went in and I thought I'm going to do this full time, get it done, and you know, part time 5-6 years later, I'm still here and I don't have a massive commitment like swimming. So good on you for getting that done. Now you have, I guess, some interesting things ahead. Now that you finish university, what are you looking at doing with this, with swimming?
Yeah, so basically I went straight from high school into university. So I'm just looking at just stopping study, even if I decide to continue it down the track. So my main focus this coming year, or like year and a half, I guess, will be just purely on swimming. And I'm really excited for that because I've never had the opportunity just to solely focus on that. So yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I get like paid to swim. It's not like big dollars, but I'll be now pursuing like sponsors and that sort of thing. So the time I was putting into my university studies, I'll be putting into my own personal image, I guess, like marketing myself more so than like studies. Because yeah. that time that I would put into university just left no time for me to just do any other sort of development for myself towards swimming.
Yeah. And so with being paid to swim, will that take your, you know, you won't need to go and get like a part-time job or anything, so you can solely focus on swimming?
At this stage, because I've saved up while I've studied at university, I've been very lucky. My parents have let me live at home. At this stage, I won't be looking for a part-time job simply because the hours are really hard to fit in around training. If one comes up, I will be taking it on though, because the pay that you get as a swimmer, it's more like a funding or a grant.
Yeah, sure.
And then from there, it's what you can build on top of that is what is more the money that you make from
it. Yeah, no, that's great. So with, I think with any side hustle, one of the key messages is that it's about what, basically about the time you put into it. I find that even my own personal journey, I've tried to do quite a lot of different things and never really pursued one thing. And it's been fine, it's been fun, but I can tell that, you know, if I did transition and, you know, take on one of those side hustles I've been doing and leave work behind, I know that that would, I guess, yeah, see it expand a lot more. And I think that's going to be a really awesome opportunity for you to just solely focus on swimming and put everything into it and not have any distractions around, because I know as a fellow university student, you know, classes, exams, yeah, all that kind of stuff, the study around it can really make your side hustle be on the back foot. But good on you for, I guess, keeping it up and still having it. But is there any time where you thought, you know, during high school or university where you thought, you know what, this might be just too much, I don't know whether I can continue my side hustle?
No, there's definitely been, I'd say, more than once that I've thought that. High school, I probably only happened once, but it wasn't from this commitment of school. I've always said to myself that, you know, swimming and like my sporting career is something that's only such a, like, I can only do it for such a short period of my life. Like, you know, I can't come back and do this. Schooling, nowadays, you can come and study at any time. So for me, it's always been a priority to focus that. And then if my schooling has slipped, then that's a choice I've made. So I think the hardest part for me is I take on a lot of people's opinions of me. So in school and that, if people, you know, didn't necessarily believe in me, or if there's a lot of pressure on me, I think there's a few times where I didn't perform when I needed to. And so, you know, when that happens, it's really hard to deal with. And having those lows and trying to push through while you're in school, and just your teachers put a lot of pressure on you. It's not necessarily your peers, it's those teachers. And to come home and say, like, you know, they expect you to win or get a medal, and to realize the commitment that that takes and the level of Australian swimming, like, to get a medal is an international medalist sort of level. So the teachers didn't have that understanding, and, you know, there's a lot of times it was really hard to push through those barriers, because I knew what I wanted outside of school, but as soon as you're in that environment of schooling, it's just, yeah, it's really hard to deal with, because you can't just ignore it. It's always there. I think, you know, the last time that it happened, I think the only reason I'm actually still here is because I knew I had something more in me. I actually wanted to quit probably even last year. I just hadn't performed for a little while. And I just said to my mom, look, I want to stop, but I can't stop on this note. So I made some big decisions and, you know, took some big chances with my swimming after that. I've reached the times and performances that I wanted to reach, and I'm in such a great environment and a great position now. It's like, no, this is where I need to be now. This is what I'm going to do. Like, I don't want to quit. It's just, you know, this in sport, there's so much mental game going on that, you know, figuring out your mental state amongst the other people's opinions. And then, you know, you've got the coaches, and we have like a over-governing body, and, you know, you have to perform to get selected on teams, and then you have that sort of pressure coming in. So, yeah, that sort of stuff, it all plays a big role in it. And, yeah, there's definitely times where you want to quit and you're just like, why am I putting myself through this? Especially when people are like, you know, you're not you're not making a team. What are you doing it for? But you got to look at the big picture of why I'm doing this, and I look at myself today, and I've experienced so much, I've learnt so much.
Yeah.
A lot of people tell me I'm wise beyond my years, because I've had to deal with so many different emotional circumstances compared to like other people my age.
Yeah. Well, it's actually crazy that you said that a few years ago, even last year, you were thinking about just throwing it all away and or just stopping because of everything else that was going on. But you've had some absolutely incredible experiences this year that I've been following you on social media through, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But not too long ago, you actually went through some pretty awesome things that I thought were really cool, and that is that you were trialing for the Comm Games. How was that experience?
So that was probably interesting that you bring it up as an awesome experience, because that for me was one of the points where I was like, I actually don't know if I can keep going after this.
Yeah, right.
Comm Games, the trials for Commonwealth Games was a very interesting experience. It's the first time they hadn't done it at a main state competition pool, our trials, and they did it at the brand new Gold Coast Aquatic Centre, which actually wasn't quite completed, so it was, or had just been completed. And it was a different time of year to normal, so there's a lot of things. It was quite scruffy on the edges, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So coming in, there was a lot of outside factors to racing that we were having to deal with. So it was held in February, which it was held... I reckon it was the hottest week of February possible. We were outdoors, which we never have like our national trials and in an outdoor pool. So yeah, coming in, I don't deal with the heat very well. So coming in, you know, we come into marshalling and we have these big fans on us because there's no air conditioning, there's nothing. And then we go out onto pool deck and they've got this like matting everywhere. And because we've got the brand new big grandstands up for the Commonwealth Games pool, there's no breeze. It was really, really extreme heat in the pool deck. And like, I think it threw me that competition. Like from the public's perspective, like it's awesome. I've trialed for Commonwealth Games, but I've also done the Olympic trials for 2016 as well. So,
oh really? See, I didn't know that.
So, you know, every nationals that we compete in actually is a qualifier for something. Our nationals championships is also doubled as a trials. So it's a trials for some form of team or some form of funding that we can get. So for me, this was just another nationals meet. Yes, it would have been cool to have made the Commonwealth Games. I probably was borderline if I'd performed, but I didn't perform. So that's, you know, it's a frustrating sort of thing to come away and, you know, coming away from that, a lot of people once again just expected I'd make a team. And it's like, no, that doesn't happen, you know. A lot of things are on the line, and for us as swimmers, we have that one chance to make the team. So, look, it was a great experience. I actually love that pool still, but under those circumstances, with the big grandstand, it was very, very hot. I love my indoor pool, and I love my environmental conditions to be controlled.
And I have heard that, the different pools you swim in. I think there's even a famous story of someone who was a really great swimmer, but they'd only trained in like a saltwater pool or something like that, or vice versa. And then when they actually went to swim, it was a different pool, and it was just completely, their performance was just thrown out the window.
Yeah, because you're doing so many hours in the same pool day in, day out. You know, we have to train ourselves to be able to adapt. Even the training times, you know, leading into big competitions, we shift our morning times to the times that we'll be racing, because your body gets so adjusted to swimming in the morning, and then, you know, even swimming between morning and afternoon, you know, the different physiological effects of your body, you always tend to swim better in the afternoon, but we have to make sure that we're primed in the morning because we have to be able to perform at all times. So, you know, there's so many little adjustments we have to make sure that we can handle any sort of situation. And, you know, if we're going overseas to the hot or cold, you know, if it's opposite, because it's always opposite to what we are. You know, we have to go early and then adjust and get our bodies in the right groove, and just lots of different things to make sure that that exact sort of situation doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, definitely. So what is your typical day look like with training, or week, if that helps?
Yeah, so recently, so one of the big moves I've done to like help my swimming along, I actually moved to a club up North Gold Coast. So I live at Tweed Heads, And so for me, that's a big drive at the moment. I may move up eventually, but not yet.
Yeah.
So a lot of my day at the moment consists of driving. So I'm actually really lucky because I'm in the high performance squad. We don't have any school age children like swimming with us. So we can start later because we don't have to, you know, kids don't have to get to school on time anymore.
Yeah.
So that used to be me, but not anymore. Yeah, so my training day starts at 6:00. So for me, I'm up at 4:45 at the moment. I get in the car, drive up there, and so at the moment, depending what time of the season, because we're in like a building phase at the moment, we do a bit of dry land, so like running. We're doing a bit of running at the moment, and then we'll get in the pool for like 2 hours, 2.5, depending how many k's we're doing that day. And then on like a Monday we'll go and do gym, so we do gym 3 times a week. So that's like my Monday morning, and then I'll come home, do my big drive home, and then because I've got to drive back up there again for a 3 o'clock session or 4, depending on what the schedule is. I don't have much time at home, so it's all about resting, recovering, and refueling my body. Like people think it's only the training times, but no, it's the other times too. Like rest and sleep is like just as important as the training.
Yeah.
So then I'll go back up for a second session in the afternoon. That's more swimming focused, so that'll be another 2-2.5 hours as well. So I train 10-11 times a week in the pool. I do gym 3 times a week, and most morning sessions we'll do some form of dry land, like running, spinning, a spin like as in like a cycling class. Yeah.
So is that gym class, is that more strength based or cardio or?
Yeah, so because I'm a distance swimmer, I do a lot of cardio as it is, so I don't need any more cardio. Like if we do dry land running and like cycling, that's just to get a bit of like athleticism in general athletic sort of build to the cardio. But yeah, it's about building strength, especially for someone like me. I'm quite tall, and I grew quite late as well, so I don't have that power to strength and weight ratio. So my big focus actually at the moment is strength. So we're in the gym, we're trying to get stronger, but at all times we don't compromise our time in the pool. So if gym is going to injure us, we have to, you know, look at that again. So
I guess there'd be a lot of times where you are looking at food and recovery and gym and how that affects everything to do with your swimming. So is life surrounded by swimming at this point?
It's an interesting dynamic. Leading into big meets, you definitely get very tunnel vision. But, you know, when trials are another year away, you know, you're trying to keep a bit of mental balance. So at the moment, like outside of training, yes, I'm really trying to focus on my eating and refueling and resting. But I'm also really trying to balance it with, like, I don't know, distraction. So for me at the moment, I'm trying to get a few catch-up jobs done having been away, but like I'll try and get outdoors. Like I love to be at the, like with the ocean, do a bit of art and just kind of just use the other part of my brain and just distract myself from the sessions a little bit. Otherwise it can be very taxing and very frustrating because this time of the season, especially because we are doing so much strength, your training sessions can be really up and down. And like you can have some really good ones, some really bad ones. And if you just focused on that, it can be really hard to get up and keep going, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to find a way to balance out that, you know, because it's such an intense thing. You're so focused and you're so fixated on a goal that you want to be able to balance it out. Especially, you know, looking at, we call it life beyond the line. And so it's also realizing that we, like swimming is something I do, it's not who I am. So I'm just always trying to develop who I am as a person outside of the pool as well. So, you know, finding hobbies for myself outside.
No, I think that's a really good idea because it sounds like it's a massive mental game. And obviously if you're swimming and that one race means everything, I think that could be somewhat damaging, I guess, if you don't perform the way you want to after all of the training that you do and all of the time you put into it. So I guess you have your wins, you have your losses, and having something else out there to go to take your mind off, it sounds like a really, really good idea. So I think you're approaching it, you know, I'm definitely no professional in that type of area, but it sounds like just around in life, it sounds like you're doing quite well there. But in terms of doing well, this year, like I said earlier, has been, I think, a pretty cool year for you. A lot of travel.
Yeah.
Where have you just been?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a big year for me. Yeah, so even outside of travel, I've moved squads like a couple of times trying to figure out where's best for me. But yeah, recently I have been overseas for about 2 months racing and competing. So I have been to World University Games in Naples, Italy. I've also been to Tokyo in Japan and Singapore. So they're the three kind of international meets I've done recently.
And you actually came away with a medal at the national,
World University Games. Yes. Yeah. So I only got to compete in one event, but came away with a medal, got second place and second best time ever, like a lifetime second best. So yeah, and it was new circumstances, like, because I raced the 1500 meter freestyle. They often only have like what we call a timed final. Mm. So you race it once. But over there we had heats and finals, so having to back up two 1500s in within 2 days, it was definitely a unique experience. So to be able to pull off a time that's my second best ever and come away with a medal, I'm very happy with that.
Definitely.
So yeah, that's what I did in Naples, and then in Tokyo and Singapore it was part of the Asia World Cup with FINA. So in Tokyo, I raced all right, probably wasn't as good as I could. And then Singapore, pulled myself together a bit more and, got two bronze medals there.
Do you think the pools in Japan affected that, or was it just the situation where you weren't, performing as well as others?
A little bit. Or I just come off the back of, a big flight from Europe and then a straight, from Europe to Australia, and then I flew to Japan the next day.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of traveling, a lot of things to manage, which is why I went for the experience of learning to manage the travel and backing it up. But I think, just a little bit flat from, when you're moving around a lot, you go through a lot of ups and downs with excitement and motivation and all that. Yeah, I just think a little bit almost, just dealing with the whole situation. So, it's that mental game. Like, I kind of was struggling to get in the groove of racing, having done such a big meet and to come back and race again. Often after big meets you take a break, but I trained through, and then I went and raced again, and I was like, come on, trying to find that adrenaline hit. Didn't quite kick in, but by the time I got to Singapore I was kind of ready to
getting
go again.
I think I didn't realize that you came back to Australia before you went over. So that's, I hate flying. I love traveling, but had this terrible experience when I went to Europe and I got really sick in the stopover.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I'm like, I just dread long flights. So having to back it up, and do all that swimming as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. No, flying is another thing that we have to manage. Because, you have to be able to get off the plane and be able to swim and race within a short period of time again. So it's something that we have to, we're constantly, we're doing all sorts of education around it. But, I have, a back issue, so I have to strap my back and I have to get up on the flight regularly. But yet you also have to manage sleeping.
Yeah.
But, I'm like you. I really don't like flying because I've had an experience with it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
And jet lag as well.
Yeah.
Jet lag for me, it was not too bad going to Europe, but then coming back, I remember we got in at 6 a.m. and then I was ready for bed at 2 p.m. And I had to stay awake because you have to get your body clock back in order. So for you to jump around time zones like that.
In Tokyo, jet lag, I was tired when I got home, but the body clock was just confused. So I wasn't doing anything. But it was kind of kicked in a few days later. And I just would, in Tokyo, this was happening as well. I'd go to sleep, but then I'd wake up at midnight for 3 hours and weird things. I just couldn't sleep through. And it's just okay, this is weird. What are we doing awake?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it took me a while to realize that was the jet lag, but it was just a delayed onset. So I was traveling so much.
Yeah, because it can last, even up to a week, some people face. But with all of that and, all that travel that you've done, all that exciting stuff, even graduating this year, are you graduating at the end of this year?
I'm not sure if it's the end of this year, start of next year, but it's going to be around.
But you're done uni, that's the main thing. Yeah. With all the exciting things that have happened, are you planning any other travel for swimming or even for personal,
Yeah. End of this year, I am actually going to US. in Atlanta, Georgia. So we're going to be competing in the Winter US Open. So that's just all that's this year. I was nearly going to go overseas again as well, but it's just, you know, got to come home and train at some point.
Yeah.
But no, next year, after the Olympics, I'm looking at doing the full World Cup tour. Yeah, so that'll be about, I think it's 7 or 8 stops next year. So we'll be doing a lot of traveling with that. And also swimming's taken a new branch of direction. It's called the ISL, International Swimmers League, which is it's swimmer run. So it's kind of like a new governing organization of swimming that's international.
Oh, okay.
So there's like it's only just started this year, but they have teams and you compete for a team. So I'm hoping either next year or the year after to sign with a team. So then that means as well, I'll get to do some more traveling, but all of that is part of like the business, I guess, the side hustle. That's where I make my money in those sorts of meets, is when I get to actually race for money. So both of those will include that, but also along the sideline, you know, get to travel to some incredible places.
Yeah, well, that's super exciting. One last thing is, what tips and tricks, I guess, or what is any advice for someone who is doing a 9-to-5 job, or they've got commitments with uni or even high school, and they're looking to start a side hustle or even some sort of hobby? Do you have any advice for people that are wanting to?
No, I would. If you're in a 9-to-5, I would just let yourself dream. And don't let anyone like tell you otherwise. If you've got an idea, as long as you've, you know, thought it through and like, you know, it's a plausible idea and you can play it out, definitely chase it. Like, you've got to put in that time, you've got to put in the hours, and, you know, people will criticize you when you're just building. But, you know, when you reach the top, you know, it's just, I don't know, I love not having to do the 9-to-5. It's just, it's so liberating being able to do what I do. And I know it's just so enjoyable. And when you get to do that and have control of your own like side hustle, when your side hustle eventually becomes your own your number one hustle, well then that's definitely something that's worthwhile. And I don't know, I think life and the way the world works, there's so many opportunities for that. Just take a chance and give it a go.
I actually find it really interesting that there is a lot of times when people do criticize you when you're starting and anything really, and you might not be too sure how it's going to go, and you put yourself out there and just hope for the best. But then when you get to the top, you know, anything that you do doesn't really matter, because you're up there and people think, oh wow, you know, they're doing this or they're doing that, and there's suddenly I just think that's a really interesting idea. That's how the world works.
It's always very interesting as well, because people are always like, how did you do it? It's like, did you not see me putting in the time and the hours? You know, everything takes that first like slog of commitment to get there. And you know, if you want to do it, then it's doable. We just nothing comes easy, but it once you're there, it's always worth it.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming in and having a chat with me. It's really cool to see where you've come from, because we have known each other for a little while now, but I didn't really know the extent of where you started, you know, some of those challenges that you've faced, and now, you know, all of the amazing things I get to see generally through social media, and also when you come in to have a chat. So thanks again. And is there maybe some sort of Instagram or something that people can follow you or social media?
Yeah, so on Instagram, it's at swimmermo. So there's an underscore in there. So swimmer, SWIMMER underscore MOE. So that's for all my swimming stuff on Instagram. There's also a Facebook page, Moesha Johnson, but you should be able to find that all through Instagram. And if not, just message me and I'll hook you up with it all.
Brilliant. We'll go and follow her journey. And once again, thank you very much.
Thank you.